Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey, guys. Another week, and here we are getting to spend time together talking about horrible things. You know, today's episode is about the Black Death, one of the craziest and deadliest things to have happened in human history, honestly. And, you know, it's a joke now, right? Many years have passed. And so whenever we get a little sick, a little sniffle, we think it's cool to be like, you know, what? I'm sorry, I coughed. I probably have the plague. Don't worry. What if that was real, guys? We should stop kidding. After today's episode, you will never say that again. All right, so let's get to it. Here's what you need to know. The bubonic plague, or the Black Death, was one of the most catastrophic pandemics of human history. 75 to 200 million people are thought to have died, although the exact number is unknown due to poor bookkeeping in the Middle Ages. The Black Death tore through Europe from 1347 to 1351, and in those 4 years, it is thought to have wiped out one-third of its population. The Black Death was actually a bacterial infection believed to be caused by the bacterium Yersinia pestis, which results in several forms of the plague. It traveled from the dry plains of Central Asia along the Silk Road to Crimea. Then, it was most likely carried by fleas on rats that hitched a ride on merchant ships. Once they arrived at their European port, it was only a matter of time until it spread to the inhabitants of that city and country. Fun facts, aka death stats. In total, the plague may have reduced the world's population in the 14th century from 450 million to 350 million. I'm honestly more shocked about the 450 million world population. I mean, you compare that to today's population of 7.6 billion, and that's just absolutely insane. Why do we have so many people? It took 200 years for the population of the world to recover from its previous number. In areas such as Italy, south of France, and Spain, the plague is thought to have killed 75 to 80% of the population. There are three variations of the plague. There's the bubonic plague. That's when the bacterium attacked the lymph nodes. If you contract this one, you had a 30 to 75% chance of death. There's the pneumonic plague, where the infection is in the lungs. If you catch this one, you had a 90 to 95% chance of death. So, that must be the worst one, right? Wrong. Finally, there's the septicemic plague, where the infection is in the bloodstream. This one had a 100% mortality rate. From what I read, it also still has no cure to this day. And that's all you really need to know about the plague. Here we are. I have my good friend with us today, James Bladen. James, you are a germaphobe.
Thank you, Rebecca. Yeah, yes, I am somewhat germophobic. That is true. In fact, when you told me that we were going to be talking about the plague, I did a little reading because I didn't want to come in with the knowledge that I previously had, which is very little. And I looked at it, and while I was reading it, I honestly started getting scared about getting the plague.
Oh.
Because it was talking about how it spread through Italy.
Yeah.
And the family and I are taking a trip to Italy.
Perfect.
In about a month, and I started going like, I hope it's gone because we're going to be in that spot.
Are you going to Sicily? Is that where you're going?
No.
What I heard was that it entered through Sicily. Apparently everyone in the boat was dead by the time it got to Sicily.
It's crazy. I read a little bit too. And
yes.
Yeah. It was through, like you said, rats that got on the ship.
You know? I mean, we can start blaming people if you want right now, but we can also just, you know, talk about your trip to Italy for 1 second and
sure.
How you should be afraid about all of the diseases you can contract while traveling.
And the plague now is first on the list for me because as you just said, it's not gone. In fact, my wife, Angela, knows someone who had the plague.
No.
Yes.
I should have invited Angela.
You should have.
Person with the plague.
I kept it to myself because I wanted to come.
Oh, good.
And I didn't, you know, she was gone all today. I was going to ask her about that thing. But she told me that someone that she knows, I don't want to name names.
Okay.
But he had the, it was he. A he.
It was a he. That's what we're getting.
Had the plague. And apparently we do have, it wasn't the last one you mentioned because they had a way of curing him. He's still alive.
Yeah. I saw that online and I still don't even believe that that had I think at the time, of course, it had 100% mortality rate.
Yes.
But the fact that they haven't found a cure for this blood plague.
I didn't know that.
Insane to me.
That's scary.
I hope I'm not misleading anyone out there. And if I am, I'm sure I'll hear about it. So.
Right. We invite your comments. Be sure to like and subscribe. But you know, we were quick to point out that it was rats, but it was really fleas, wasn't it?
This is what we're getting
Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get it. Okay. I mean, I love, feel free to blame as many people as you want. You know, we'll put them up on the board.
Okay.
Because we have a true and tried system of figuring out who's to blame, you know?
Okay,
so
good.
So don't feel like you have to hold back.
Okay. I will not hold back.
So let's just start off and put rats up on the board because from what I've heard is, first of all, rats are disgusting. So they deserve to be up on a board.
I think rats should always be on boards because of their disgusting nature.
I would agree.
But how do you feel about mice?
Not as disgusting.
Not as disgusting.
But still disgusting.
Really?
I think disgusting with a period and then rats, all caps, disgusting.
Well, why are rats more disgusting than mice?
because they're bigger. And when they look at you, they have their teeth that they go.
Yeah.
And mice are more like dummies, right? They use their little hands and they put them over their mouth and like, you know?
I hope we have the illustrations up of Rebecca doing the little hand movements because that adds a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I see what you're saying. Because they're larger, they do more of the teeth thing.
And they have those eyes that kind of glare at you.
Right. And they're not, mice are not known for carrying diseases.
Exactly.
So I don't know what it is about rats, but maybe because of the way they live, they're in sewers or they're going through garbage and they're going through Asia.
Subways, exactly. They're getting on ships. So apparently these like merchant ships were a like cesspool of disgustingness and slash rats.
Yes. Can I back it up slightly,
please,
Rebecca?
Yeah.
Now, from what you do know more than I do.
I finished the whole Wikipedia page.
Okay. Because I read, that's what, we went to the same source.
Yes.
So from, correct me if I'm wrong. So in what, Central Asia?
Yes.
And I read it was because of the climate was changing.
Yes. I mean, I was going to bring this up later, but we can talk about this now. The climate is changing. I was going to bring up climate change as one of the big, the big people or things. Climate change as a person.
Yeah. Let's personify it.
He. Yeah. He deserves to be on the board because from what I read, there was this thing called the Little Ice Age.
The Little Ice Age that could.
Exactly. And it wasn't the big Ice Age, right? It was the little one. Clearly. Okay. I mean, we wouldn't have survived the real big one. Yeah, the big one. This was a little.
There was a fun-sized Ice Age.
Exactly.
That didn't kill everybody, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it brought the rats out. Mm. It brought the rats out because the crops stopped growing. Oh, and then it would be really cold in the winter and really hot in the summer. Does that sound like any trend to the people out there?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So do we add?
I mean, we can just go right ahead.
Climate change.
Because it is related to rats. So the rats leave the, you know, crops or the fields or the, you know, countryside, right?
Right.
And they go straight to the city. They've got no food. They go to the city because they know they can get good food in the city. Rats are just like people.
They, some go like this. Like people.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to argue, you could say that the rats were just responding. I guess this is part of our figuring it out.
Yeah.
But rats were responding to this climate event that put in motion them leaving.
Yeah.
So you could take the blame off of the rats that they weren't going to go out and spread the plague.
I mean, let's not take blame off of anyone.
Okay. All right.
You know?
Let's not rush to non-judgment.
Yes. So you got the rats and they're dirty and disgusting. The climate change is forcing them out.
Yeah.
And we read that it's because of fleas, right?
Fleas
on rats. Rat fleas.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of anything more disgusting?
No. Because, by the way, do you have cats?
I don't. I have dogs.
Do you have? Okay. Have they ever had fleas?
Yes.
It's disgusting.
It will throw your life into a shitstorm.
Right.
When you find one. So.
Yeah. And then they're so hard to get rid of.
Yes.
And if they're carrying the plague, even worse.
I mean, who's going to want to wash that dog or cat if they have a plague flea on them?
And fleas, you know, because of the way they jump, you know in your head that they jump. But in reality, you kind of look at them like they're disappearing. Like they have the ability to teleport.
Right.
Which makes them really hard to kill.
Yeah.
And plus, if you get one in your hand, if you were able to actually grab one, you have to do this weird pinching move.
Yes.
To actually kill it and then drop it in the toilet. But you're not even sure that it's dead.
Well, you are being way too risky by dropping it in the toilet. I have a technique about fleas.
Oh, okay. I'm learning a lot.
You catch them. You pinch them. You get tape and you put it in the tape and you close it. right? And then you can view the flea. It's almost like a slide.
Oh, okay. Right? So like Scotch tape.
Yes.
Is best.
Yeah, yeah. Or packing tape. Anything clear is preferred, so you can see, make sure it's there.
Okay.
Once it's in the tape, right?
Yeah.
Consumed in tape, then you are free to finish squeezing it and throw it out in the trash.
That your method is a lot better than mine. And I'm changing my ways now.
I'm glad you came.
Yeah, me too. So, but yeah, fleas are disgusting. And then when you couple that with, from what I read too, so the fleas are on the infected rats.
Yes.
We don't know how the rats get infected to begin with.
I think they get infected from the fleas.
Oh, the fleas have it first.
We're gonna have to look that up because I know there was a scientist.
There was a scientist.
was one scientist called Alexander Yersinius or something like that.
Yes.
Yes, his name is Yersin. Alexander Yersin. So Alexander Yersin is a badass, right?
Right.
And in the 1800 or 19th century, there's a reoccurrence of the plague, and he goes to wherever it's at. I forget, Japan. I think it was in Japan. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he finds these fleas.
Or China.
I'm sorry, these.
Was it in China?
I
want to say
somewhere
China.
In Asia. We'll say Asia.
Okay.
And he notices that, I don't know, somehow he takes notice of some rats. And he puts a rat in a cage, like in his hotel room. He watches it die because it's dying of the plague.
Right.
And then another rat that was perfectly healthy gets put in the cage where the fleas then bite the rat.
Right.
My information is telling me that it was the fleas who had it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Which is what Rebecca was saying. Yeah.
So maybe we should put my name with a star next to it.
But not on the blame board.
No, but it'll be a side of heroes.
Do you have a
corner of heroes? Look, if you get something right, we'll put your name on there too with the little star.
Oh, now this is information I'm just learning. Okay, so your name is going under the words the plague.
Okay.
You got a little star there. Wow.
My name, we've got James's name.
Well,
I have a star next to it. James has zero.
Okay. You get the star from being right about something?
Yeah. It's incentive.
Yours seem to be sort of self-appointed.
Sure. I mean, it's my podcast. I don't know.
But can I self-appoint myself? I go ding, ding, ding and then give my...
When you get something
Amanda?
Right.
Okay. All right.
So these fleas... I love to really make my guests feel at home and comfortable and loved.
Yeah. When will that start?
after we're done recording.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got fleas who... Okay. This is what I wanted to talk about. Now, we think the fleas are carrying it, right?
Yes.
The fleas are also kind of a victim.
Hmm.
And I'll read something I found online.
And this is from flealover.com.
It's from youredyingoftheplague.com. Okay, this is how the fleas worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mechanism by which Y. pestis was usually transmitted was established in 1898 by Paul Lewis Simond and was found to involve the bites of fleas whose midguts had become obstructed by replicating Y. pestis several days after feeding on an infected host. So the blockage results in starvation and aggressive feeding behavior by the fleas, which repeatedly attempt to clear their blockage by regurgitating, resulting in thousands of plague bacteria being flushed into the feeding site, infecting the host. So the flea is suffering too, because it can't get enough food. And so it throws up on the skin of the host.
I think into the bloodstream, right? Because they're biting.
Well,
and they kind of regurgitate on that bite, which goes directly into the blood.
It goes into the bloodstream.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that's not fair.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'll let Rebecca, you have that one because this is a new thing we're testing out, the names
star
with
system?
Stars. But I'll let you have that one.
Okay. Thank you.
So, I mean, the flea is also a victim, if you think about it.
Right. Right. Where so it's the you're saying it's the bacteria.
That's what I'm getting
that
at.
It's really
yes.
causing the
Yersinia
regurgitation.
Pestis.
Oh, wow.
Is it going on the board?
Yes. Can we please put Yersinia pestis
yeah.
on there?
Okay, without a star, please, Amanda.
No.
Do you need the spelling of that?
It's Yersinia pestis.
And that Yersinia is the doctor's
Yersin.
Name. Yersin. So let me ask you this. If you were a doctor, would you want the bacteria that caused the plague to be named after you?
It's just such a good question. Such a good question. One of the best questions we've had. You can give him a star for that.
Why? Wow.
Oh my God.
I mean, you're right. Why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah. I mean, the plague is named after you. So like if they were ever aware that that's the name, Yersinia pestis, I think.
Yeah, she wrote it wrong.
Pestis. Is that the word where pest comes from?
Yeah, must be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're familiar with it, I'm assuming maybe they were more when the plague was more popular.
Uh-huh.
That the guy would walk in and say like, hey, I'm Yersin. And then wouldn't you initially recoil against that?
Yeah.
Away from that guy as fast as possible.
Well, he's clearly been with rats that have been exposed to the plague.
Right.
I'm not coming near that guy.
No.
So I don't know what his deal is. I wanted to put him in a category of heroes, but I'm actually going to not because of what you just said. Because
yeah,
he might be a scientist, but he's not. He doesn't have street smarts.
He doesn't have street smarts. Yeah. He doesn't know how to work a room.
So, okay, so I read this on Britannica.com because a very important website, Britannica.com.
Yes.
Because I really want to make a case for this bacteria, right? Mm-hmm. They're very conniving. The way they work is very conniving. So they enter the blood and they migrate to the lymph nodes.
Okay.
This is the bubonic.
This is the bubonic.
But I from what I believe, they all start as bubonic.
Oh, interesting.
So they're...
I have a quick question, Rebecca.
Yeah, I probably won't know the answer.
Is it bubonic or bubonic?
Oh, shoot. Bubonic?
I don't know.
I think it's bubonic.
It's not bubonic.
No.
Well, do you have anything to back that up, Miss Amanda?
Just my good sense.
Well, I don't know. Liquid U is very prevalent in the 1300s.
But it's like it affects the bubes, right? Or not the boobs.
No, right? See?
But I think boobs are the B-O-U version are the lymph nodes.
Oh, okay.
They're,
all right.
Yeah.
But the spelling of bubonic is B-U, right?
Look, you'll call it bubonic. I'll call it bubonic.
Okay.
And we'll have a nice
variety.
Let's
call the whole thing plague.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You're regretting this.
So they enter the bloodstream, they hit up the lymph nodes, and then they're able to produce these proteins that disrupt the normal inflammatory response, and that prevents their digestion by infection fighting macrophages. Okay. This is all sort of making sense. So with the host's immune response weakened, the bacilli quickly colonize the lymph nodes, producing a painful swelling and eventually destroying the tissue. And then on occasion, they enter the bloodstream and the lungs. Vicious.
Oof.
Absolutely vicious.
That's pretty intense. So you're saying that the bacteria is the same, but it can manifest itself in a couple different, like the same bacteria can enter, starts at the lymph nodes, then sometimes it can enter the lungs for your, I forget the name of that one.
Oh, yeah. Pneumonic. Yeah.
Pneumonic. And then the blood one, which is, what?
Septicemic.
Septicemic.
Yeah.
Right. Septa must have some blood Greek or origin, like sepsis.
Sepsis, exactly. I don't know. I'm just saying yes.
I've worked on a medical show, so trust me. Right. Okay. So is that right? Am I right in saying that it's the same bacteria?
It's the same one. It just kind of like you know, hits up different locations.
Okay.
If it can.
If it can.
Which, you know, we're talking about these little swollen lymph nodes. Do you know that that's what Ring Around the Rosie is about?
What?
Yes. Okay, so I
feel a star coming on.
Ring Around the Rosie is about, from everything I've read, is about the bubonic, or the Black Death, right? Because their rings would pop up around the swollen lymph nodes that were rosy. So it's Ring Around the Rosie, pockets full of posies, because they believed that bad smells were what brought on the plague. And we'll talk about all of the things they thought about. Mm. But they thought bad smells brought it on, so they would carry flowers with them or good-smelling things. Ring Around the Rosie, pockets full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Everyone's dying.
Ashes would be what, the burning of bodies or the cremation of?
Some say it was like they would burn, yeah, the things that were touched by people with the plague, or, you know, and also like ashes, ashes is it's like a death. It's a death.
Ashes
thing.
To ashes, dust to dust. It's a biblical reference.
It's a biblical reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an awfully cheery tune to go with.
I mean, comedy. Someone had to have a good sense of humor.
So you're saying the plague plus time equaled that song?
That I know. I think the song came from that time.
Came from that time.
They started singing it back then.
Wow.
Ring
Around the Rosy Pocket. Wow. That's pretty macabre. Yeah.
I'm just going to pause here and reference this podcast I heard that really describes the whole science part of this. Mm. There's this Dr. Jenna Mokoccia, M-O-C-C-I-A, and she's a guest on this podcast called Caustic Soda, and they do an episode about the plague. And if you can just get past the guys who are, you know, talking nonsense and rambling, they have this guest who's this doctor, and she's really good at explaining how it all works.
I gotta give that doctor a podcast.
She's worth it. From the, you know, 50 minutes I heard.
50?
Yeah, it was 50. Yeah, they were able to talk about it for 50.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I was going to say, there another scientific explanation that I read had to do with the heavens, is what they said.
Yes.
You know of this one, I can tell.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think this is a good time to maybe put up on the board poor science. Maybe poor science should be to blame. Like,
right. Yeah, because science, this was the 1300s.
Yes.
What we would call the Middle Ages.
Uh-huh.
And they were not that advanced. I mean, I would say there was a lot of superstition, a lot of guesswork in the science of the day. So from what I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it was what they called a conjunction of planets.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Is that, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Okay. I read something about this. Okay. So they believe the plague was caused by pockets of bad air released by earthquakes or by unfavorable alignment of Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars in the 40th degree of Aquarius on March 20th, 1345. So they had a horrible bookkeeping, and they had horrible science at that time. But they were able to see the planets and know the degree of which Aquarius was on the specific date, which blows my mind.
Right. And so they looked up and saw that these planets were aligning, and they said, that's it. That's what's causing this. So they thought that because of that, it was causing, I think, an all-around pestilence in the air. Yeah. Really? That's what they said. A pestilence in the air, and that the cause of it was that I don't know how planets lining up would cause this to happen.
Well, is it like astrology basically caused the plague?
Yeah.
Maybe we
We could put bad good astrology actually led to.
I think astrology falls under bad science.
So. Okay.
Bad science.
That's a good
pseudoscience.
Call. Yeah. The belief that it was in the air was a big one.
Right.
Like, hence bad smells, which they weren't wrong, because it was actually, you could also get it from coughing or sneezing on someone.
Right. It's very contagious.
Yeah. Other things that they thought caused the plague were, I wrote a list of these. These were remedies. These were things that they thought would cure it.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Because, you know, they thought that this was like punishment for sins, you know, from God. That was a big thinking.
Yes, and we should definitely talk about that as being...
Okay, I mean, is God to blame for the plague? Or are our sins to blame for the plague?
I mean, I would state it another way. I would say that the belief that God is sort of in control of it all would tend to make people think that he is sending it.
Yes.
And therefore, which I think tends to cause a disbelief in science. Not that the science was very good.
No.
But it tends to make people choose that over science. But what does man know? I'm sure at the time that people thought maybe they're being punished. That God sent plagues in the Bible. That was like...
Yeah.
So why would he not be in charge of this one, is my question.
Honestly, it makes logical sense.
Yeah. And so I think because of that, people probably thought, you know, they tend to be fatalistic when those things happen and say, like, if God is sending this, I can't run and hide from it. He's going to kill who he wants to kill with this plague. And so you might not take precautions.
Good point.
Because of that.
On the board. It's happening.
It's number
We're
six.
Gonna, you know, it's okay. Number six. So here are some of these. I found these really fun. So these are cures, right?
Okay.
Trying to be happy.
Wait, they felt that maybe the opposite, if you were dour, that brought on the plague. And so being happy would somehow get rid of the plague?
Yes. Avoiding bad thoughts.
Wow.
That goes hand in hand. Drinking good wine. They thought that would cure it. I mean,
that makes more sense.
Wouldn't you wish?
That makes more sense to me, because they're thinking it's something inside you, and wine is a spirit. And if you drink it,
you feel happy.
Well, that's true too. But also, it's like, you know, maybe it heals from the inside. Yeah. It's this stuff again, biblical. Jesus turning water into wine. Maybe it had a medicinal value.
Yeah, and then when you wake up the next morning hungover, you're like, wow, that wine really worked through my body. It really
battled
the disease.
Yeah.
Well, another one was avoiding eating fruit. I'm not sure why.
Avoid eating fruit.
Putting fragrant herbs in beverages. This is my favorite. Not abusing the poor.
Does this have to do with religion at all? I mean, were people thinking that, again, God was punishing us, therefore do like what Jesus said?
Yeah, I think follow what Jesus said and not abuse the poor. Let's remind ourselves. Let's stop. I know we all love to abuse the poor.
Yeah, I mean, don't take away my favorite vice.
But maybe let's not do that for the time, you know, just until the plague's over.
Then you can go back to it. But for right now, please just ease up.
So, I mean, those are just some fun things that, you know, they did to try and stop it. None of this had to do with science.
No. And so in the 1300s, did they even have the knowledge of what bacteria was? They had no microscopes.
They could see the stars.
That's a telescope. They had scopes.
Or the planets. I mean, I guess they had eyes.
They did have eyes.
Yeah, and that was...
Microscopes seem to have been invented in 1590.
Wow. Right, so they did not have that.
Yeah.
So they didn't even know probably that bacteria existed. In fact, I think I did read something where they said hygiene, and it was probably coinciding with the microscope, good hygiene was not invented yet.
No. Oh, yeah.
It had not been thought of.
Soap had just come out. Soap had come out in like 11th century. But only, it was expensive, and so only the rich had soap.
And was it for people, or were they using it to clean like other things?
Good question.
I mean, it seemed like if that came out in the 1500s, the microscope, that seemed to coincide with when they said hygiene really kind of began to
took off.
take hold. Yeah. Which makes sense. Like all of a sudden they're like, somebody had the bright idea of sticking some stuff under the microscope and said, hey, there's lots of live stuff in here.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what's ailing us.
Right.
You know?
I mean, you just made me think of a good one that I think we should put on the board. And before we do that, I do believe I'd need another star next to my name.
Sure. I'm just going to ask for the backup evidence of which one are you referring to that was a star-worthy comment?
Oh, I said something. Ring Around the Rosie. Yes, yes.
Like, oh.
Yes.
Is
yeah.
that it?
Okay. Yeah.
There was something you should have gotten a star for that you said.
I think he was ramping up right now to give himself a star.
Okay.
Yes.
You're denying me a star in the...
Okay. I'll give it to you. It's because I said you reminded me of something that I think we should put on the board. And okay, fine. Let's give James a star. Poor sanitation.
Boy, my stars are real begrudgingly given. That's what I'm learning.
You guys like me out there, right? You love my personality. I'm like really fun to hang out with.
No question.
So yeah, poor sanitation.
Yes.
Medieval times were filthy.
They were filthy. They didn't realize that you can't have disease-ridden animals and probably human waste and animal waste all over the place.
Well, I read that this is something they used to do. They would take human waste and their trash and just throw it out the window. That's how they cleaned their houses. That's how they got rid of things.
Right.
So the streets were filthy.
Right. You would have a chamber pot,
yeah,
is what they would call it. And then they would, if you lived on the second floor, you would just open up your window. There's a street down there. You just dump it out. And that's insane that they really didn't see that as being problematic. Do you know what I mean? Just, you would think that, I don't want to get gross, but just the smell of it.
Yeah.
It's there for a reason. God put the smell there.
All of a sudden, you're a very religious person.
I'm real religious. But the smell is the signal to us that, well, let's say evolution put it there to say, no, don't be around this.
That's really smart.
Don't ingest it.
Yeah. So, you know, disgusting time. People didn't shower.
Right.
You know, because...
Well, when was the shower invented?
Not until much later. They bathed in a river or a stream,
mm-hmm,
or like they got a bucket from the river and used a washcloth, and that's how they bathed.
Yeah.
Unless you were rich. I think the tub wasn't invented until around that time. But
The first shower was around 1850.
Shower. And then tubs before that, probably... 1400s?
Yeah, something like that.
That's a complete guess. I have no idea. I mean, I'm guessing in 100
But that
years
was back. For the rich people.
Yes.
So your commoners, they're not bathing in tubs.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like bathing was really a thing.
Well, they thought that when you bathed, it would open up your pores and that would make you susceptible to disease.
And that's not a bad line of thinking.
You agree.
I agree that makes sense because it does. They knew enough to say that your pores open, which is true, right?
Yeah.
And you might think that stuff enters through the pores. It does.
I mean, they knew that, but they didn't know so much.
They didn't know so much. Can you imagine how awful? I mean, we're basically outlining why it was so awful to live back then.
I would never want to live in any time other than this time.
And that's what they were saying, probably, because they're like, remember, remember reading about the 300s?
Uh-huh.
And how little they knew.
They don't read.
Right. I'm wondering, people are going to look back on our time and go like, how awful.
Yeah.
To live in the 2000s.
You know, I feel like we have a lot of good stuff up on the board.
Yeah.
But before we kind of figure, start crossing things off the list, I just want to talk about groups of things/people who were blamed that shouldn't have been blamed.
Okay.
So this is a little portion of this episode because I found it very valuable. They deserve a shout out is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Jews. So
they were blamed.
Yes, they were blamed. A classic group to persecute,
right? Of course.
Many Jewish communities were destroyed, and in Strasbourg alone, in February of 1349, 2,000 Jews were murdered. Now they were blamed for poisoning the wells.
Literally poisoning
yes,
the wells.
I'm pretty sure that's where that saying came from.
Poison the well.
Don't poison the well whatever that is.
So they thought that Jewish people were going to wells intentionally putting plague in it.
Yeah.
So that other people would die.
Yes.
It wasn't that Jewish people were dying of the plague and they thought like, wow, they're spreading it around. And
no, exactly. Because everyone was dying.
It's right. Not like you can't pin it on one group.
Yeah. It's not like they weren't dying and then poisoning the well,
Wow.
So, of course, they were persecuted and they were blamed. Other people who were blamed were people with skin diseases. Mm. So, like leprosy, psoriasis, and like even acne. They thought
rosacea?
That, yeah,
wow.
That you would have been blamed. They would have killed you
if
you had rosacea because they thought it was kind of like spreading through the, skin. Because, of course, some of them had gangrene and, the lymph nodes. It's all ugly.
What if you just had combination skin? Do you know what I mean? Like oily T-zone?
then you'd be borderline.
Okay.
It depends on
I'm glad I didn't live back then.
And then the last thing that was blamed, last group that was blamed were cats and dogs. So they were thought to spread the disease and they were killed in mass. And this made the rat problem worse.
Oh.
Fools.
Now, but fleas do go on animals. Were dogs not, dogs and cats not spreading it?
I don't think I guess there are particular rat fleas. I might be.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah. There's specific breed of fleas that loves
That live
rats.
On rats.
Yeah.
People were obviously desperate to figure out what was causing it and they were just misinformed.
Yeah. I mean, you think I'm being judgy or blaming.
I do.
But imagine me back then. I would have been a monster.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I don't know that much about the plague, but what happened when you got it? Like, how long did it take? Was it just like a really bad flu?
Yeah.
I think from what I read, it took very short. It was like 5 to 7 days.
Yes.
And you'd be gone.
I think it took a few days for it to come out in your... So you could have gotten it like 2 days ago. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you start feeling sick. And it was like flu-like symptoms, like diarrhea.
But like also vomiting blood.
Vomiting. Yeah. Well, that came after. That was actually... So it started off with flu. So like... dizziness, sleep, fatigue, diarrhea. I know I keep saying diarrhea, but vomiting, flu. But then that's when the lymph nodes would pop up. And then if it went to your lungs, it was like dying from not consumption, but what was the other one that people died from where they coughed up blood?
Cholera?
No.
Tuberculosis?
One of those. Moulin Rouge? She dies from it?
I don't know. TB is associated with coughing, I think. But I'm not totally sure. But I do know that the bubonic plague, it was like because you would get these sort of things around your lymph nodes in the like your kind of
groin
yeah. area. But also the reason they called it Black Death was because it would literally turn black around your, I saw a picture of somebody's fingers.
Yeah,
that it turned extremities. Black. The extremities would turn black.
I think that was the septicemic version.
Okay.
So if it got in your bloodstream, then it would gangrene. You'd get gangrene. You'd turn black. I mean, it was ugly.
Oh, so according to the internet, in Moulin Rouge, Nicole Kidman plays Satine, a courtesan who looks great while suffering from a cough caused by consumption.
Consumption.
So, yeah. And I forget when Moulin Rouge took place, but the movie.
Not the Moulin Rouge epoch. But
I don't think there was a plague back then.
No, I think that was the Moulin Rouge time was later. Was
later, 1800s or so. But, you know, the plague kept resurfacing. That was the big thing.
Right. It kept coming back. I mean, like you said, it still exists.
Yeah.
We just have, I guess it's antibiotics.
Yes.
To deal with it, except for the septicemic one.
From what I read, I hope I'm not wrong.
But it's very rare that these surface. Please tell me.
My guess is that it doesn't have time to become septicemic because you treat it before.
Oh, okay.
That's my guess. Before it gets into the bloodstream. I think you're right.
I
call them baby doctors. So.
No, you call them gynecologists.
I'm all over the place. okay, so let's focus and get down to the nitty-gritty. Who is to blame? We've got rats, climate change, fleas, Yersinia pestis, bad science, belief in religion, and bad hygiene. That's 7. Just so you guys know the tally of our stars, I have 2 stars and James has 3 stars, which is
something I didn't even notice have to live with. Wow.
So I think we can start off by kind of crossing out maybe, I don't want to take away belief in, okay, let's do it this way. Off the bat, tell me your gut feeling, who's to blame?
Oh, who is to blame?
For you, just gut.
I'm going to say, I want to say fleas.
Wow, I was just going to say we should cross fleas off.
Really?
Yeah, because again, I think they were victims.
I guess so, but I'm trying to think that the Yersinia pestis, which was the bacteria, was sitting there not doing anything.
Mm.
And it would have stayed there had not something come along and started moving it, transmitting it.
Right.
So the plague was it getting to people and killing people.
Uh-huh.
The plague was not just that this bacteria was living in a field in Central Asia.
Uh-huh. But it was in a rat. It was already in a rat, right? Where was this bacteria?
I think it was nesting in the ground. It was someplace not moving.
It was a bacteria. It was forming somewhere. Okay, so the first time the plague appeared was in like 541 AD with like Justinian, the emperor, who... got the, I forget where he lived, Justinian the First, but like 10,000 people died, and he also got the plague and didn't die, which kind of reinforces God status.
Yes.
But so it's been, the bacteria has lived for a long time, if that was the first plague.
True.
It seems to me that it's, I just Googled it, it's kind of a cycle. It's like there's bacteria, there's fleas, there's rats, and they're all just like cycling. Yeah.
Right.
Chicken and egg situation.
And it's when those fleas/rats get brought into contact with people in close quarters that it becomes the plague in the sense that if it was just living on rats and fleas and stuff like that, we wouldn't be talking about it particularly.
Right. Yeah.
Because I remember also reading that there was two, the fleas have to have 2 sets of thing, rats. Basically, the rats that are resistant to it, which can transmit it and stay alive.
Right.
And then the rats that are not resistant to it, so they'll die. And then those fleas move to the other rats.
It's a high maintenance flea.
It sure is. So you're thinking take away fleas because you feel sorry for the flea.
Yeah, just because they suffer too. But maybe I'm being like too soft.
I mean, because not to tell you your own show, but you're saying who's to blame, not who is unaffected. Or you know what I mean? Like who is completely like they could be suffering but still be to blame.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying, and I think that what maybe we want to do is do a threesome. I don't think one of them can...
Well, wait, let's stay on this topic.
...exist without without the other, okay?
Okay.
I think it might be a rat, flea, Yersinia pestis combo thrown, and then you throw in... Oh, God, everyone is to blame. I was going to say climate change, but then I looked at bad science, and I was like, you throw that in.
Well... I'll say I would be in favor of removing bad science and bad religion and bad hygiene. I think those are all things that came later in the chain.
Yeah.
And maybe added to its spread, but didn't cause it.
Yeah.
It
wasn't Let's go ahead and strike those. I do agree with you. I'm just, what's shocking to me is that this has been the hardest one of all of these. It's not an obvious one.
Right, because let's say rats, I think we're both saying that rats, fleas, and the bacteria itself kind of had a equal hand, and they were kind of in a symbiotic relationship, that you take away one of those and it wouldn't have happened.
Yes, and if climate change hadn't happened, the rat would have been in the field.
The rat would have stayed where it was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think we're down to those two things. I think we're grouping those things, which are all working together. Mm-hmm. In unison, and climate change. Those two, let's say that would you agree that we have those two left?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we're saying that the thing that was carrying it is one thing, and the thing that caused that thing to move is the other thing.
I've made up my mind.
You have?
Yes. I think climate change. Because the flea rat bacteria combo would never have happened if climate change hadn't forced them.
It would have happened locally, I think, right?
But not at, like a big, such a large scope.
Like they would have stayed in that field where no people were around had the weather not changed.
Yeah.
And pushed them out of their comfy, plague-ridden area. I agree with you. Wow. I think I agree with you. Climate change, and it's very topical.
I know. So I know all the websites out there say, you know, the Yersinia pestis, the fleas, the rats, blah, blah, blah. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Climate change.
Climate change?
Climate change caused the plague.
Yeah.
So
I think we solved it.
I think I'm ready to send climate change to the alarmist jail. Did you hear that sound effect?
A door slam?
Yeah. Look, we're brutal.
We get to
here.
Act. Yeah. We get to put it away. So how long does climate change have to stay in the alarmist jail?
Oh. I mean, it'll get out. That this is the thing with climate change. You put him in jail and he's going to find a way to get out. He'll be back. I assure you of
Yeah.
It. Well, thank you so much, James. I'm so glad we got to the bottom of the plague, of the Black Death, and you've done everyone out there a justice. I really wish you the best in Italy. And
thank you.
I would say just please quarantine yourself for a few days when you come back, just in case.
Absolutely.
Since the 14th century, science has come a long way. For instance, now we have antibiotics. If you were to contract the plague and you caught it in time, you could just pop an antibiotic and you'd probably survive. But the plague still exists in parts of the world. The last time it popped up was in 2013 in Madagascar, with 119 confirmed cases and 40 deaths. So, you better wash your hands. If you guys have any thoughts, comments, or corrections, feel free to email me at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to vote for Who's to Blame on our website, thealarmistpodcast.com. It's going to take you to Facebook. Just relax. Next week, tune in for a delicious treat. We'll be talking about the Donner Party.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.